Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Before I begin the sermon proper, first my apologies for including last week's gospel again in this week's bulletin. But I'm sure that you have great relief as you're not hearing a third John the Baptist sermon in a row. So there's a few balls up in the air right now, as you can imagine. So I'll have it right for Christmas Eve, I promise. We'll get the right gospel reading. So at any rate, what you heard was the gospel appointed for today. Matthew's story, his version of the Annunciation, an Annunciation story on this Sunday, which features Mary, but also gives great prominence to Joseph. And we'll hear more about that in a moment. This fourth Sunday of Advent is an opportunity to reflect and contemplate before we get into the busyness of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, to contemplate from a little bit of a distance a gift to us to think more deeply about the mystery of our Christian faith, the central doctrine of the Christian faith, the one tenet above all else that makes Christianity different from all other religions, and that is the incarnation. So if Easter Day is the most celebrative and most important holy day of the year, it is the incarnation that is our greatest theological statement of faith, and in many ways, its greatest mystery. God entering our lives as our life, in our life, in human flesh, in the person, life, and death of Jesus Christ. So as I mentioned, we'll hear the Christmas story on Tuesday and Wednesday, Luke's great account of the birth of Jesus. Today, we back up about 9 months or so, how human, and hear how God began God's plan of salvation with Mary and Joseph, a very human couple, an engaged couple, no doubt in love, who find themselves in a difficult and yet familiar crisis. Now, a bit of background for the story as Matthew unfolds it for us. A bit of background that you have to know to make, again, the cultural connections between what he is saying and what occurred 2,000 years ago. Tradition holds that Mary was fairly young, possibly a teenager, which would not have been unusual in a time when life expectancy was 30, perhaps at best, to become engaged and betrothed as a teenager. Tradition holds that Joseph was older, possibly in his 20s or late 30s. So for those of us who had our 39th birthday recently, we take heart that he was of mature years. Possibly it is a conjecture, it might have been a second marriage for Joseph, given his age. One of the reasons we think that is that he vanishes from the accounts after these stories. We never hear about Joseph again in Scripture. But they are engaged, which in the Jewish practice of their day, and which survives in the Orthodox tradition, it's a big deal. Engagement is really more important than the marriage contract itself. To become engaged required signatures of all the parties involved. It required Joseph signing on with Mary's parents, all kinds of stipulations about their future life together. They would have signed something called a tanaim, or engagement contract, and there were very, very few stipulations as to how that contract could be broken off. Pregnancy that arose during an engagement, while not encouraged, was on the other hand not a scandal, because that showed God's favor on the couple and that children would flow from the relationship. But pregnancy as a result of infidelity was grounds for the man to break off the relationship. So the emphasis is really not so much on the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, important as that is. The emphasis is on the fact that Joseph knows full well the child that Mary has is not his own. That's the struggle he is facing. struggle that many men often face in relationships. And Joseph, being honorable and kind and righteous, decides that the best thing to do for everybody is to quietly put her away, as the scriptures call, to quietly dismiss her, so that it would be no embarrassing and public ridicule, that there would be a way to say something else happened and the engagement is over. Except God has other plans. God had other plans for what would occur. And in the middle of the night, those plans come to rest with Joseph. It's not about what Joseph wants to do. It's about God and what Joseph should do, the right thing to do. Ruth Haley Barton puts it this way: Joseph had a plan to end his engagement quietly. It came from a good place inside him, but it was still only a human plan that came from looking at the situation from a human perspective. Faith required Joseph to literally wake up, to see what God was doing, and to give up his own plan and his own pride in favor of God. That kind of change can be had. It requires inner vision to see far more than the human eye can see or comprehend. I can't begin to explain the incarnation. As I said, it is the mystery. If you ever hear a pastor or a theologian announce that she or he is about to explain the incarnation in a simple sermon, just start running for the exits as soon as you can. It is something that has to be lived into in the way that Joseph and Mary lived into their family. You know, I heard a pretty darn good sermon about this situation, and the words were said quite clearly. Did it ever occur to you that Jesus was born into a blended family? I kind of did one of these, you know, sit up and take notice. I had never heard it put quite that well. That Jesus was born into a blended family. That if God was going to come to earth and be born in us and for us, that the root to that would lie outside perhaps a traditional family. Paul so often says we are God's children by adoption and grace, and that Jesus became a son also by adoption and grace, by the love of a mother and the courage of a man to become a much needed earthly father to this child. Bill Davenport and Pat Dybul invited me to the Christmas party Saturday for the clients that are served through the Mariners Inn program, which you all gave so generously to, the presents that made Christmas parties possible for those families. Two van loads of gifts and presents were sent. And I can assure you, they know who you are because I walked in the door and introduced myself and I barely got the words out, and Erica said, "Oh, St. Michael's, you folks are wonderful for everything you do for us." And it was a great morning. I mean, children galore. The energy in the place was just palpable. And we heard over and over gratitude and thanks from clients, from children themselves who spoke up and thanked for the day, and for the families there, the families who gathered to be together in the midst of sometimes difficult things that keep apart. I was standing there thinking to myself, you know, all families have struggles, mine included. We just don't sometimes know about them. And in those struggles, sometimes you can see God at work restoring and healing those people. It is the community of faith. It is the community of God's love that is the strength that keeps all families together. It was a community that sustained Mary and Joseph. It is a community that sustains the love of God for all of us. Walter Brueggemann had this to say: "The gift of Christmas contradicts everything we sense about our own world. Our world feels unsavable, and here is the baby named Jesus, which means save us. He ready to have your sense of the world changed by this gift from God. As the party was winding up yesterday, this young boy was running around saying, "This is the best day ever. This is the best day ever. I'm having a great time." And I'll tell you, everybody was. And I thought to myself, boy, you know, that ought to be the way we open our Christmas Eve service. This is the best day ever, God. This is the best day ever. Because the community of faith has come again to make my family whole. So Jesus will soon be born again in our hearts this week. And may that be our message as well, that God has made it the best day ever. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.